chases her tail.
Plum Love Foods Live. Serious chef talk. Chef Plum.
I was a pro wrestler and a Laser Quest champion.
Chef Jeff.
People like me a lot.
Chef Dan.
Man, all that hard seltzer, man, got me bench pressing Yorkies.
Chef Rob.
I'm bougie.
The Hulkster.
Brother, I was at Arby's scarfing down a chicken cordon bleu.
Chef Dave.
I don't have AIDS. I have Lyme disease. It's different.
Plum Love Foods Live every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio and podcasted everywhere.
I have no idea why people listen to this.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Can you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds? You might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Food Pod. Number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your mise en place. Here are the Good Brothers.
Happy Thanksgiving!
Yeah!
Friends, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I hope you stuffed your face full of all those beautiful foods you've been working on for 14 hours a day in the kitchen, cooking for the family. You're pouring down some delicious libations for yourself. And now, you're not watching any NFL football tonight because that got canceled. Thanks, COVID. But instead, you're hanging out here with the Good Brothers. It's your boy Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, Plum Love Foods Live, the Thanksgiving special, Jeffy. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir.
I'm excited to be here on a Thanksgiving. I even got some holiday music to play in the background, all kinds of stuff.
That sounded super holiday. I love it.
That's O Come All Ye Faithful.
Ooh.
The lo-fi version. I don't know. I also got this one. I like this one, too. Angels Have You Heard or something. It's all good. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Hope you got a chance to eat some delicious food. Jeffy, I fry my turkey every year. You ever done fried turkey?
Yeah, man. I love some fried turkey.
You playing games. Once you do it, once you fry a turkey, it's really hard to go back.
Yeah. Listen, I fry a turkey, but not everybody can get down with fried things. They get upset. You know what I mean? Especially as you get older. So then I bought a big-ass air fryer, and then I air fried a turkey in there like a kettle-style air fryer.
What?
Wild. Yeah. It's a charbroil air fryer. Hook it up to propane, and you hang the turkey in this basket in this thing, and it's magic because the convection of the heat, blah, 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 blah.
It works well?
It comes out. Dude, it's bang. I'll let you borrow it.
Wow, that sounds amazing. That's awesome.
I love it.
Joining us here, as always, on the program, the boys are here. Chef Dan Monroe is here with us. Danny, what's up, buddy?
Yo, what up?
Celebrating that Thanksgiving. And, of course, the one and the only Chef Dave is joining us. Dave, happy Thanksgiving to you, sir.
Yo, happy Thanksgiving.
Listen, it's one of my favorite holidays, Thanksgiving. And, Dan, sometimes I look at Thanksgiving as being almost like kind of like a Super Bowl for chefs if you're cooking dinner, right? You kind of get a chance to really show off to a lot of people who are close to you.
Yeah, every year I plan not to cook, and every year I come up with some new shit to make.
That seems to be what always happens. So you're always not going to cook, and then you end up cooking all the shit. What's happened to me this year, man, is that, I don't know, you boys know how much media shit I've been doing lately, just, you know, between the NPR show, and I was doing Anna and Raven's show all week, and then I do this Monday spots on local TV here in Connecticut, and the past month, as you can imagine, has been nothing but Thanksgiving food and Thanksgiving-themed things, and, you know, the amount of questions I've gotten on my Instagram about things I've talked about on the radio or on TV have been, like, triple this year, which means I guess more people are at home, Jeff? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm definitely, man. COVID has kept tons of people at home. And I think you have a wider audience base, you know, with the PBS show. You know what I mean? Like, you're out there. you know, and you're already Connecticut, son. We already know about you. You're ringing bells, son. Ringing bells.
Ringing bells. All right, like this kind of bell. That's my bell.
Oh. Take a compliment, right. Prick. That's not cool.
I'm always kidding. I'm just, you know, trying to be silly with it. I apologize.
I'm sorry.
I think I speak for all the boys here in the program how thankful we are to be able to have the opportunity to do this show and people be able to listen to it and check it out. And we're holding pretty steady. And people, you know, as far as downloads and all that crap go, people like the show. That's great. Got some big changes hopefully coming up here very, very soon to make the show more fun, a little bit different for everybody. But I tell you what, the fact that I get to spend this time with you gentlemen once a week here via the Skype, via the podcast, I do appreciate that, man. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to do that and the fact that we all get to spend this time together, Dave. It's not being stupid, but being for real. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we're not all in the same spot, but like once a week we are. Even if it's just for like an hour or so.
Yeah, we still hang out and do it. You know, Dan, I know you enjoy doing the show too and hanging out and talking, but I think it's fun to do it and it's become almost a release. Like we can kind of just vent a little bit sometimes and laugh and drink and tell stupid food stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Every night on these Thursdays when I'm just thinking, you know, there's a day that I'm going to get to do the podcast. And it's going to be fun because we're going to laugh about some funny shit, make dick jokes, and talk about food.
And Dave's going to say something stupid. Jeffy's going to steamroll over a guest trying to talk. And it's just the typical, that's what we do, and it's fun. It's a great show.
Absolutely. The best.
Jeffy, I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean it in a loving way.
I got you. It's part of my charm.
It is part of your charm. It is part of your charm. But this is the question I have to ask you guys, right? Because I'm going to get into something negative here in a second that I want to run by you all. Are we too male-centric? Like, we don't have any female voices on this program. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Dave, what do you think?
I said this years ago. No, I didn't say it. We could actually use female correspondence. Or whatever we are.
Where's your microphone, Co-host? Dave?
In the other room. Yeah. Do I need it?
You sound terrible without it. It's really hard to hear you.
All right.
Anyway, Jeffy, what do you think? I mean, without having a female voice, I mean, it becomes this program where we're doing these, you know, we do these roundtables, we talk about things, but we don't really have a female voice in here very often. I mean, does it matter, or does it matter more than ever?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's always refreshing to have as many different perspectives as we possibly can. And I think we do a pretty good job at that. We tend to just kind of go with a bunch of our friends. And we have a bunch of girls that are in our friend group. It just works out that we have different guys on the show. You know what I mean? I mean, Michelle would love to be on a round table and give her a point of view on yeah. something. You know, I could think of a you know... A ton of people. Jamie from Channel Whatever would probably love to weigh in on something. I think Raven would love, Anna would love to weigh in on something.
Well, I want to take a second and I want to read you guys an email I received from one of our producers of the NPR show. And I'm not going to get into depth, the names and all that, but I just want to read something to you guys. It was something that kind of ruined my day late last week when I got this. It was last Friday I got this. It bothered me a lot, and we've since covered all the bases and worked it all out. But last Friday's show of season, I thought was a fantastic program. I'm very thankful I get a chance to do that show. It went really well. The producers clapped afterwards. Everybody was happy. It was fantastic. And then we get this email. I get this email. Morning. Listening back to yesterday's show to prep the podcast, it was pretty clear that it was a dude-dominated show. We also received an email from a listener, a retired male chef, in fact, who felt that talking over Marisol was a carryover from the male chauvinism pervasion in kitchens that showed up on our show. Ouch. None of us want that to be how a listener experiences our show. It's not who we are. Definitely not who Plum is. And then some more stupid logistical things about working on a live show there. That email, Jeffy, really pissed me off and ruined my day.
Yeah, I could see that would upset you. I mean, it's one listener's perspective, and I mean, you told me when I talked to you the day that you did the show, you were like super high on energy of it. You loved it, and you said you felt bad that it was like it got real chefy, and Marisol didn't get a chance to really get in there,
right?
On a bunch of stuff, and you like didn't like you kind of bugged you like you didn't like that. That's how it happened, and so I mean, you were aware.
I was aware that I was.
You had dominated the conversation right. A little bit.
And I can do that, and I know that.
We all do it a little bit. Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's something you're passionate about, I mean, you'd almost expect it a little bit, right? I mean,
but when people are calling in and we're taking phone calls, and basically I had two guests who were males. I had two guests, and then literally what they said, one of the fullest phone banks they've ever seen. Like, just calls. And all they want you to do is get to calls. And I'm trying to talk to the guests and get to the calls. And a little behind the scenes, I'm sitting at the computer that controls all of that.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Right? And so, and then people want to talk to, you know, they want to talk to the chefs about their questions for Thanksgiving. So there's a whole lot of things going on in my brain at once. I'm trying to do the best I can with it. And if you go back and listen to the podcast version of the show, I think you can hear it goes really well. I mean, definitely there's a lot of male voices in there, which I don't know.
Who's I'm sorry, I didn't actually hear the show. Who are the guests?
Yeah, so our good buddy G, the wine slinger, was on talking about some Thanksgiving wines. And then friend of our show here, Chef Brian Kaywork, was on, you know, from the CIA, talking about American food and the history of that kind of thing. It was
talking about a lot of knowledge.
It's a great show there, right? I thought it was. Yeah. Dan, I mean, two things from you, Dan. When you hear that email, that portion of that email I read, I mean, where does your head go? And what do you think? Are we too male-dominated here on this program?
So I'm just, like, biting my tongue while you guys were talking. I heard the show.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, you got, first of all, Marisol Castro is a professional radio personality.
Well, TV.
She does this for on TV, radio. She does the Mets broadcasting. Like, she does this for a living.
Right.
Okay. You're taking away from her by saying, oh, whatever, like the person who's complaining.
That's
by
what
saying
I thought.
That. You, like, yo, and that's what the shit that happens, that when somebody is there, you're saying, well, how about she was letting letting it play out? Like, she was stepping back and letting the professional of the culinary world just kind of say something. I mean,
you're absolutely
goes
right. She's a professional,
ways.
And trust me, if she wants to be heard, she'll be heard. She's not going to sit back and let people walk on her.
Heard. I've heard her many things. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I agree with that. So you're taken away from her by even projecting that because of your perspective of what you think you hear and don't know what's really going on or what's going on. And I mean, I'll say this, like, Brian was he kept jumping in, and I think that was more, and it had me thinking of CIA and how the instructors are, where they're very much leading the kind of the charge,
right?
And every time he got into something, he would kind of like go into it, and you could see that, you know, that instructor's hat go on, and he would kind of go in. And that's what they would do, because they were trying to penetrate the young minds of the culinarians coming up, and he's just going in. So sometimes he, who is not a professional on, you know, a radio show or a TV show or anything, kind of, he's the guy that stands up in front of a bunch of, you know, doe-eyed students looking blankly. He's used to kind of going in.
He's got to go
deep. He doesn't
understand
that sometimes I have to stop. Yeah, so he's just going in. And I think that, okay, sure, you could see that one way, but, I mean, from what I've heard from Marisol, that she will jump in on a conversation whenever she's ready to jump in. And saying something like that is taken away from who she is.
Right. And somebody has to drive, you know? I mean, it's just a fact. Somebody has to drive the bus when you do a show like these, you know? Someone's got to be controlling the bus. And it's just...
Yes.
You heard the show. So, I mean, you know, I thought it was a great show. I thought it was smooth. It ran well. I mean, what did you think?
I thought it was great, and the live shows are—they're live on NPR. Like, that's serious. That's not just, you know, you doing a podcast. That's A lot of people listening, a lot of people eyeballing you, listening, a lot of ears hearing. It's a lot of things going on. So, I mean, that's a lot of things. There's no pre-recorded. There was no, right. It was live. Like, I mean, you have to let it flow, and that's just how it went. I've heard her before, and she's very much been in control of it. So,
yeah, you know. Absolutely. It's just the way it goes, man. It's tough because I don't ever want anyone to feel like that. And she didn't feel like that. That was what someone else projected onto her. Dave, let me ask you a question, man. So when I had the conversation, I didn't email them back. I had a conversation with them. I said, listen, obviously we'll take what we can from this and learn from it and et cetera. But I said the delivery, I didn't appreciate the delivery of it. I don't think you ever would have said if it was a bunch of females, it was very chick-centric. I just didn't appreciate how the message was delivered to me. And I said, but you know, one thing I want you guys to all bear in mind, this is coming from a guy who's done over 265 podcasts that do very well. Listen, there's going to be people who don't like it. And if someone doesn't like it and takes the time to write you and tell you that, that means people are listening. People are paying attention, right? And you got to remember that. And if there's one person that's saying that, trust me, there's 15 people who are listening who are digging it. I made that number up, but it's a lot more people listening to it than you probably realize. And I think that's a good sign. And I said the sign from that is the email you get, and then you see the fucking full phone banks. Dave, I mean, does that fall in the category, Dave, of there's no bad PR?
I mean, like, I didn't get to hear the show, but I mean, it's hard to, because I know, like, here we are pretty much, it's like a sausage party, you know? But we're like very bro-y, but it's a different show.
That's the vibe we're doing.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like I said, I didn't get to hear it, but I don't know. Like, I've listened to previous shows and I've never gotten that. So
that guy.
I guess as far as PR, you know, anything is good.
Jeff, last question on this, then we can move on from this. I just really wanted to get you guys' opinion on this email, man, that I got. And it's when you hear something like this, Jeff, and you hear the way that they talk about it like this, and it comes back to you. I mean, is it a thing where we should think about that for our program here? We should change the voices a little bit and try to get that female voice on as a regular more often than not? Or is, you know what, literally, it's a different type of show. This is the type of show we do. I mean, you look at the guys like Don and Mike, Opie and Anthony, these are all male-centric shows, Howard Stern, that were dominated male shows. But even Howard Stern had a female voice in Robin. Is that something we should think about? Especially with some of the changes we're looking at making moving forward?
Well, I think it's important, like I said, to make sure that we have like a diverse point of views and diverse guests. And make sure that we take the time to, I mean, dude, we've dedicated whole months to female guests. You know what I mean? Like, we try to support female chefs, especially. You know what I mean? Like, I personally, I don't think that we lack. I mean, we definitely are bro-y, but it's not like we're like, you know, chauvinistic. I don't think, or I don't think we shit on women. You know what I mean? It's not like we get here and we're like, oh, fuck our wives, ho, 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 you know, and shit like that. Like, we don't, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Well, I don't know, maybe, but I think you definitely just came up with a brand new shirt for us that you don't realize it. Plum Love Foods Live. Bro-y but doughy. sorry, Dan, what do you got, man?
Yes. Jeff. How many daughters you got?
Two.
Plum, how many daughters you got?
Three.
I mean, we all have daughters. And it's just like that's... I want my daughter today was outside of the store directing traffic because we had three separate lines of people from curbside to people prepaid to people coming in the store. And she was out there in front of everybody leading the group as the loudest motherfucker on the block. She's like, excuse me. I came outside. I was so proud. She's out there. She's like, excuse me. What are you doing? And where are you going? And she's dictating everybody where to go. And I was like, she goes, I had people coming up here still asking me stupid questions. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, she takes control when she needs to take control. Like, so you're saying about, you're talking about how, you know, the diversity of it, and we just happen to be, you know, friends that vibe on a situation, and we get on a microphone and we talk about shit.
But we would be the first, any one of us would be the first one to jump up and back up a female who was doing something, or want to put her on a pedestal and help support her and let her see and be a part of this. And, you know, and when that email, the guy starts talking about he's a retired chef, first of all, I'm pretty sure you break a code right there by even, you know, you don't say shit about another chef like that. But, you know, talking
when
about...
When have you ever retired as a chef?
Well, I was like, I told him in the email, I told the producer, I said, you know, the guy's a liar, because ain't no chef ever fucking retire. That's bullshit.
Hell no.
I don't know what you're talking about there. But, yeah, anyway, I just wanted to run that by you guys, man. That email kind of put me in a bad spot, but we've since, you know, I said my piece, and everybody's good, and it just, like I said, it means people are listening, and that's a good thing. That's how I look at it, Jeffy. Is that a terrible way to look at it?
No, man. I think all comments are good comments, in my opinion. Like you said, if people are gonna like take the time to write bullshit, they're at least listening.
Yeah,
you know, it's like they actually heard the show. If they're gonna like write, even if it's shit you don't want to hear, it's just like whatever, dude. Go fuck yourself. But thanks for listening.
Yeah, no, you know? Right. I think you're right on point there. Well, we're gonna take a quick little breather here, friends. Get our ducks in a row. We come back, we're going to talk about some more thankful things here at Thanksgiving. I think Jeffy's got a couple of things to tell us.
Oh, I
Plus,
do.
All around the country, what are everyone's favorite pies in different parts of the country? It's a little surprising when I found out. I'm going to tell you guys all about it when we get back. Stay right there. It's Good Brothers, Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, Chef Dan, Chef Dave, all hanging out with you right here on Plum Love Foods Live. We'll be right back. Stay right there. Oh, and Jeffy, don't leave. I'm going to play the PSA I wanted you to hear fucking last week that you walked away from.
Today, our world is tainted. Our world is struggling. Our world may never be our world again. Today will be the last today, because tomorrow will feel different. Tomorrow will not be the same. Tomorrow will be a chance to try again, if we let it. We must open our eyes. It must make sense. It must be passed down to a new generation. A generation of hope. A younger generation who may just save our industry. A generation that understands functional and revolts against non-functional. Take a stand and join the fight. Say no to rosemary sprigs, chopped red peppers. Say no to kale leaves, flowers, and balsamic reduction for no reason. Say no to non-functional garnish. Paid for by the Fight Against Non-Functional Garnish Old People Put on Plates Across America Association.
Oh yeah, Dave, Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Plum Love Foods live here. Thanksgiving, about to kick it back. Right now, after that beat drops, big shout out to Dima Beats for that. Yeah, I like a little Thanksgiving beat, Jeffy.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good. I'm a big fan of this guy's music. We got to reach out to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd love to have him on the program. See if he'll do it. He's a young fella, New York City kid.
I love it.
How many times this Thanksgiving did you boys have someone talk to you about pie, eat some pie, make some pie? I mean, is it a constant on Thanksgiving for you, Dave?
No, not for me.
Fucking Detroit. Y'all do weird shit.
Casseroles. I mean, people eat pie in Michigan. There's actually, like, there's Atkins Pie Company. It's, like, Grant Atkins' family. It's, like, that's where he's, like, type of started thing. But nobody really asks me about pies.
No one wants to talk to you about pie at all, huh?
No.
That's terrible.
I like pecan pie.
You make shitty pie?
Yeah, does your pie suck?
I don't really make pie.
That's a yes. This pie is garbage. Dan, what about you? I'm sure at your job you're making tons of pies.
Well, Fairfield, Connecticut is the home of the Frisbee Pie Company back, I think, 1920s, and they had the original Frisbee because they used to make the container they put their pies in. People would take them home and use them as Frisbees, and then they became selling Frisbees. So pies were something that we
hold on a sec
very dear in heart to our heart. What?
So you're saying that Frisbees
was invented in Wiffle Ball.
Like, so they didn't have Frisbees until they made those pies.
Yeah. It was invented by this. It was a pie tin. They would buy the pie and they would take it home. And then they would have pie tins. Somebody would throw them as Frisbees. They started throwing them as Frisbees. And then they started selling Frisbees. Original Frisbee was a pie tin.
Wow. That's interesting. I didn't know any of that. How about that?
I don't know, bro.
Well,
Frisbee Pie Company.
I found this map that kind of shows what essentially popular Thanksgiving pies by state. And I thought that was kind of interesting, actually. You know, if I was going to tell you a state and you tell me what kind of pie you think they have for Thanksgiving time, all right? You ready for this? Alaska.
Let's do it.
Dan, what do you think Alaska's favorite pie during Thanksgiving is?
Oh, my God.
Chicken pot pie.
What'd you say?
Chicken pot pie, because they're cold. I figured I'd eat a hot pie.
All right. You want whipped cream on that?
Extra biscuit.
Jeffy, what do you think? Alaska. What kind of pot pie do they? What kind of pot pie? What kind of pie do they have during Thanksgiving?
Alaskan pie. You're gonna have Thanksgiving pudding. So I'm gonna plant pie.
Your mic was cutting terrible there, man. I didn't hear what you said.
It's like a clam pie.
Oh,
some sort of seafood,
right,
like a.
All right, Dave, what do you think?
I was gonna say like a chocolate cream pie.
That's a good guess. Solid guess. I would never guess this, but the more and more I think about it, they do have these growing wild out there a lot. Blueberry pie is one of the favorite pies of Alaska. It's also in New York, Oklahoma, Arkansas, New Jersey, Utah, and what is ME? Maine? Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting. This is the other one I thought. I mean, there's one state that their favorite pie during Thanksgiving is apple. Who do you think that is, Jeffy?
New York.
Nope, it's not New York. New York is actually the blueberry pie.
What?
According to this map, I don't know. Dan, what do you think?
Connecticut.
You're right. Connecticut is the only apple pie on the entire map.
What? New England, baby.
Yeah. Interesting,
New York,
right?
Is part of New England.
That's what the map says. Let's do one more here off here. Cranberry pie. I've never had a cranberry pie. Dave, have you?
What the fuck is a cranberry pie?
Yeah, I've never had one. What about you, Jeff? You ever had a cranberry pie?
I've had a cranberry, like, tart.
But not a pie.
Not really like a deep dish pie full of cranberry, no. No, I've never done that.
I mean, I guess you sweeten it up nice, it'd be good. Dan, cranberry pie?
No, but I bet I know what state it is.
Oh, it's a lot. It's more than one. If you can guess one of the states, you get a point.
Really? It's Massachusetts.
Is that where Ocean Spray is at?
It is not Massachusetts. Yeah.
New Jersey.
It is not New Jersey. We already mentioned them with blueberry pie. It's ironic. It looks like the favorite pie of Massachusetts is sweet potato pie.
I love sweet potato pie.
Nah, that's a lie.
What? Where'd you get this map, dog?
It's bullshit.
I just saw it here, and it was a Instagram data based on pies mentioned by state feed and stories from November 2020.
From where, like the Cayman Islands?
Where's no, it's from Instagram.
Someone in the Cayman Islands make this list up for you?
I just read it to you. How about the cherry pie, gentlemen?
Oh, I got a guess, but go ahead.
Michigan, Georgia, New Mexico, Colorado, North Dakota, West Virginia, and Maryland.
I knew Michigan would be on there because of Traverse City. Like, Traverse City in Michigan, like the northern part of Michigan, produces a third of the world's cherries.
This is one of my favorite things about Dave. He goes home and he is like immediately the expert on Michigan.
I always have been. I was here for like 30 years or something.
But like, you know everything Michigan. You're like, oh, the coffee mug? It was invented in Lansing.
No, but look, I don't know. I mean, you should just know about shit where you come from.
All right.
Yo, I fact checked the Frisbee thing. That legit was started in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Boom. There you go. Jeffy was doubting you, Dan.
Wow. I've been there. I was a kid. I was like 5.
I just couldn't believe that's where Frisbee came from. I thought it was Australian.
Why do you think everything somebody throws is Australian?
Well, I don't know. Frisbee.
Boomerang.
That's not how you say it. What are you doing?
Frisbee. You want to play Frisbee?
That's how it should be said.
That's not how they say it. I don't even know where that came from.
My favorite part about this pie thing is how diverse, like you say, blueberries, and how spread out it is.
Right.
And how all these, even when you mention one, it's so spread out. And it's interesting because I always think about food and where it comes from. And especially in America, like it's so big. And I think people forget how incredibly large America is. But how you can't really just judge a place by where they are and think that the food there is just going to be one specific way. It's pretty interesting.
100%. And, you know, I look at this and, you know, I grew up in Virginia. And, I mean, it's right on point. Sweet potato pie, Virginia, Thanksgiving is a no-brainer. Everybody sweet potato pie in Virginia. I mean, that and you also do a buttermilk pie.
Buttermilk pie. What is
buttermilk
it?
Pie is dope. It's basically like a custard, but it's delicious made with buttermilk.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Well, I like pies, gentlemen. I do.
I love pies.
I'm thankful
Pumpkin's
for pies.
One of my favorites.
I'm thankful for you, Jeffy.
I'm thankful for you, Plummy.
I'm thankful. Ooh, you put a Y on my name there. That was weird.
That would be cute, I thought.
Well, I'm not, you know, I just said I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Dan. I think I'm so happy to have friendship with Dan and he's here. We can spend this time. And I don't know. I'm trying really hard this Thanksgiving to just look at how, you know, 2020 is a fucked up year, no doubt about it. But there's a lot of good that's come out of it, too. And I think us as a group here on this program have become closer. And I love that. I think that's awesome.
I agree. It's been great.
I thought for sure Dan was jumping into one of his Dan soliloquy moments there.
No, like, I'm trying to hold back. I feel like I'm, you know.
He was firing up. You saw him. He was revving. I agree.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying. I'm thankful for all the things we have, the stars, the sun, the moon, all of us together coming through.
No, don't. What are we doing? No.
Spoken word, Dan.
No.
Dan Eloquy.
Dan Eloquy. Holy Dan. Shit. Did you hear what fucking. That was amazing.
Dan
Eloquy. That was awesome. Dan Eloquy. I like that. Hey, Dave, what are you thankful for this year, man?
I learned a lot of shit this year. So
how about
definitely?
Congrats on the AIDS going into remission. We're all very proud and happy about the AIDS remission you had. That's good. T's and P's.
Thank you, Jesus.
Word.
T's and P's. We're happy about you and Hector still maintaining your relationship. You have to break it up. Congratulations on that. That's fantastic news. Fantastic news. That really shows maturity there.
Lives.
That's good.
He comes through. He comes through for David. Yeah. He loves David.
That's amazing.
That's great.
I
had things to say, and then now
we're
going to
get to those. We're also happy about your new water balloon company you're working on. That's fantastic news. Great water balloon company. It's amazing.
I was going to be all sentimental and make you fuckers cry. But now, I'm not thankful for anything, Plum. You ruined it. You ruined it. You know what? COVID did not ruin 2020. Plum just ruined it by interrupting me and saying how thankful I am for everything and all the lessons I've learned and all the supportive people behind me. Thanks for that, Plum. Happy Thanksgiving.
I don't know why it makes me laugh so hard.
Hold on, I got it.
It's good, though.
He said Plum is worse than COVID.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
Oh, yo, man.
Best hang of 2021. Yo, you're worse than COVID. COVID came to the door and was like, nah, I ain't fucking with you.
I don't fuck with you.
Oh my god, that's really funny. Look at that, Dave. You made you turn that into a nice little bit for yourself there. I appreciate that.
No problem. You know, sometimes it happens.
Well, when things happen that are worse than 2020, Dave, or things that maybe you could chalk up to it being 2020, what do you do? Do you make lists of those?
Oh, what do you mean? Like things that are worse than 2020?
Yeah, for Thanksgiving.
Yep. I put it on a list. I write it down. Save it for later.
It's kind of like you make a little prep list into your gimmick, right?
Pretty much, like a segue, perhaps.
Oh, like, hey, is that what you're talking about? Yeah, I don't know. Like, hey, you think I may be bad for 2020, but imagine if these things happened.
Right. I don't have a little like do 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 music thing.
We're playing Thanksgiving holiday music.
That's beautiful. This is
Here comes Dave's bit. He's really special. Dave's bit, go.
That. So we're talking about pretty much holiday horror stories.
Wait, and, horror stories or horse stories?
Whatever.
Horror stories. Come on, Dave. What kind of chicks are they?
Horror. H-O-R-R.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Horror.
Horror. Yes. Like going to the horror house.
Like you. You're a horror. Ouch. Because you're a procurer of whores.
No. That's not what that means either.
Oh.
I don't procure whores, all right? The women that I get involved with are very respectful. Most of them.
Oh, sorry.
I would agree with that. All right, so Dave, what do you got there?
Connoisseur of? No, just a...
Anyway, so I scoured the toilet of the internet, Twitter.
Ah.
And I started looking for some holiday horror stories. And some of them are pretty good. Some of them, you know, obviously pretty lame. But right. I thought I liked this one. It says, it's from Teloise and Tonic. Thought I'd somehow forgotten to order most of the ingredients I needed for Thanksgiving cooking. Turns out my husband just forgot to get any of them out of his trunk 7 hours ago. Botulism, here we come.
Oh, shit. So they bought all the Thanksgiving shit and just put it in her husband's trunk and they forgot about it. I blame her, too. Why the fuck is she forgetting about it?
Ash. Yeah, I mean...
Or him.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, like, I said I blame her, but I don't know. It could have been another husband, I guess. Like, I was pretty rude of me.
Oh, no, it's... In the profile picture, it's a woman. So.
Okay, all right. So, I blame her. Dan, have you ever left food in the trunk for 7 hours?
Yeah, longer than that.
Did you serve it?
No, it wasn't like food for work, like food for home. No, I'll throw it away. It's whatever. But it wasn't like Thanksgiving. Like, that's a different story. It wasn't like the groceries. It was like I came home because I work at a store, at a grocery store. So I bring stuff home sometimes and I'll leave it in the car. And I get out of work and I'm fucking exhausted. And I go inside and I'm trying to work out and I'm thinking about dinner and the fucking kids and what the hell is going to happen the next 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, you know, 3 days later, I'm like, oh, shit. I found this bag in the back of my back seat of my car that had like
I got the chicken Kiev in the trunk.
You know, it happens.
Oh, that's
with Thanksgiving dinner, like, you got to be on it.
That's terrible. Dave, what else you got?
This one's pretty quick, but I would this one would be worse than 2020. The oven door just broke off mid-turkey bake.
Oh, fuck.
Duct tape.
Is there any story to it?
Just put it back up.
Thank you, Dan.
Not until it's done.
Thank you, Dan. Is there any story behind it, or just that's all it says?
That's it. It just says
weak
thank
bitch. That's some weak ass. That's some punk shit. Look. Oh, my oven door fell off. What am I going to do? Well, come on.
What would you do, Jeffy? How would you fix that situation? You're cooking a turkey. Let's say you're an hour and a half in. You got two more to go.
I would take a chair and take the door, wedge it on the chair, wedge that shit in there, kind of kick it under, hold it up, maybe sit on the chair a little bit, hold it
it's
there.
It's Kitchen Hacks with Chef Jeff.
Shortcut Perazzi. That's my nickname.
I don't know. Dan, have you ever had anything terrible happen while you're cooking like that? Like the shit just breaks?
I had, I was making duck confit once and I lit the oven on fire.
Nice. Well, that sounds fun. I mean, damn. That's you had the fire extinguisher, did you?
No, I just shut it and waited and eventually went out.
I guess that's probably all you really have to do. But if you've never done it before, you see that, you probably lose your mind. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It's scary. It was flames. This shit was coming out the oven. I was like, oh, closed it. And I was like, just wait. Oxygen will kill the fire.
Lack of oxygen will kill the fire.
Yeah, it was fun.
Speaking of fires.
Oh, what you got?
First Thanksgiving, forgot to take the liver, neck, and giblets out of the body of my turkey. Also, salt instead of sugar in pumpkin pies. Next Thanksgiving was at my sister-in-law's. Set her deck on fire frying the turkey.
This dumb bitch should stop cooking food.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's...
I mean, how the fuck... Listen, I get the giblets and shit being left inside. That can happen. Okay, fine. But the next year, still making mistakes? Come on.
Yeah,
fuck
I mean...
this music?
This is church music. You got.
So I'm saying it's the fucking
hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
What is happening here? It's just getting weird on us. I don't know. All right, sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
Ah, there we go. I like this one. Here we go. This one comes from Paul Carini. Earlier this year, I used the turkey baser to suck power steering fluid out of PS fluid reserve before changing the power pumps in the car. I forgot to replace the baser, and now it's a crisis.
Wait. Jeff, you could clean that, couldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, what, did you put it back dirty?
Power steering, I mean, once it's done, it's, you know, like, once it touches plastic, it's in it.
I mean, listen, what's you guys, this is a great question for a bunch of chefs. I mean, Jeff, I'll start with you. What's your take on basting? Do you think it does anything?
No.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I don't think it does jack shit. Dan, what do you think?
It depends on the situation. Like, if you have something where, like, we make this all chicken marbella, where it kind of sits in the juices, and I'd say, like, it's braising, so maybe 75% of it is in the liquid, and we'll open up the oven.
We're talking about turkeys, Dan.
I'm saying, but this is a situation where if you were to take a turkey and put it in that situation, that maybe it would be worth it. But
yeah, you mean you're roasting
definitely
the turkey?
Not penetrating any skin. You're roasting it.
Like, I feel like you weren't even paying attention,
but
Dan.
But even if you felt basting, even if basting was something you wanted to do, you could take a fucking spoon and spoon that shit on. But I don't know.
Oh, Jeffy. I mean,
oh my god, that was great.
If you're braising, that's different than roasting.
Dave, do you like to baste the turkey? Well, nah, man, but you know, chicken marbella.
That's pretty funny. That's kind of what just happened there. That was pretty funny.
So, where did he just go with that one?
I went on a tangent.
Dan, what do you think about basting the turkey? Well, one time I flew an airplane and we did barrel rolls.
Yo, best day of my life.
Turkey basin, Dan. How do you feel about it?
Fuck it.
Fuck it. I'm all flummoxed now.
So Dan, are you for or against basting a turkey? Just turkeys. Let's just talk about turkeys.
With butter. Yes.
Okay.
For 500.
We got an answer.
Yes, for 500.
He played Jeopardy. Dave, are you a baster?
No, I cover it in duck fat and leave it the fuck alone. I don't like the temperature changing in the oven from opening the doors and shit. I just want it to cook, roast, and do its thing. I feel it like at the end helps it, like it's a drier bird for some reason.
Yo, what about? Let me ask you this: what about doing like a ribeye in a pan? You think basting it with the butter and the juices makes a difference then, Jeffy?
A ribeye in the pan, basting it with juices.
As you're searing it, you spoon the juices over. You think it makes a difference?
Well, I think it's different when you're searing it. Like, is spooning butter over it or spooning juices over it?
As it's cooking in the pan,
mm-hmm.
You start your pan off a little, a little garlic, a little rosemary in the pan with some butter. Melt that shit down, get it nice and hot. You got a little oil in there. You stick your steak in there to sear it. As it's searing, you start kind of, you flip it. You start spooning some of that butter mixture in the pan on that the juices have also come out as it's cooking.
Because that kind of cooks the other side of it, though. Because if you get it like while it's going hot, and you grab that juice and you throw it on top, it like sizzles that other side of the steak. You know what I mean?
But I think the flavor that may add is minimal, but from a it may help with the cooking process. That's what I mean.
See, I disagree because you like the way I do it. It's cast iron. Grapeseed oil, hard sear, let it rest for a second, get your butter ready, throw your whatever herbs and a little bit of garlic that you're using in there, and then let that kind of like infuse for a second, return your steak back to the pan, and then start basting it. And as it's doing it, that shit's like, for one, you have your butter in there, so it's like browning, adding a little more flavor, and then everything's just getting and hitting it and just soaking right into it.
Yeah, I still think it's I mean, you're going to get some flavor as it on the surface from it, but not much. Dan, what do you think?
Well, I used to own a VW Bug.
I'm on the fence about that because I don't think that all the herbs... I definitely wouldn't put garlic in it because garlic is going to burn before... And it might add a burn flavor to it. Herbs, I'm always like, why would I add herbs? Because... I don't know how much herb flavor you're going to add to it with the basting of the butter, but I
Well, a lot of herbs, when you cook them like that, they lose their flavor. Their flavor starts to dissipate more.
Yeah, if you cook it too hard, especially if you fry it hard, you end up losing the flavor. It's pointless. But I do think
throw it on top of the steak and baste all of it.
You're getting the flavors of the juices that are dripping from steak, the fat steak. You're trying to basically put it back into the steak. So I can understand you putting it on top and allowing it to soak a few times, but I don't necessarily think the entire time you're doing it you have to fucking baste it. A couple of little, spoonfuls on the top and letting it kind of saturate back into the steak. Okay, cool, but I'm not going to lose my fucking mind sitting there. I'm more concerned about the sear. If it interrupts my sear, then we have a problem. I want my sear first and foremost.
Nice and that's hard sear.
As long as my sear is on point, I'm good because that's where you're going to get all your flavor.
That Maillard reaction.
Yes, absolutely. That's where it's at. And if you got a good crust on the steak, salt, pepper, and that's it, boom. Good butter.
Yo, we're getting deep and real chefy right now. I don't think you should put pepper on it until the end because pepper will burn. Mm-hmm. Black pepper burns, Jeffy. Would you agree or disagree?
I don't know, man. I really like the flavor of burnt or not. I really like the flavor of like charred up pepper and salt. And I actually like a little bit of garlic, like rubbed into the steak.
Yeah, I'm with that. Too. I'm just talking black pepper,
right? Roasted.
No, but I'm saying like with all like I like to put all that like right into the steak, like a little bit. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm gonna sear it hard like that, and like to get a crust on it. And I like to let that like kind of form that crust.
I think if you're gonna be into that basting the steak and doing that, man, make yourself a nice compound butter. And then once you've got the steak seared and it's nice and hot, you're about to serve it, slice off a little thin piece of that compound butter and put it on top of the steak before you serve it out, before you send it out. I think that really, you're going to get the flavor of those herbs in there nice and fresh. And, I think that's
I don't think there's a right. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong. I'm just saying that's how I'd like to do it. You know, I think
like to rest. Like when I let my steak rest, I like to put a little butter or a little like finishing oil or something on it, like, and let it rest with the oil on it.
Or the
butter. But I don't know about you guys, but like now the more I cook larger pieces of meat, I always reverse sear everything. If I sous vide it, or I'll slow roast it, or I'll cook it like on the the reverse side, like on the slow and low side of the barbecue, and then finish it hard and fast at the end. I don't know about, is that how you guys have been cooking, or what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not against it. I don't find it to be that different for me personally. I haven't done it with a whole bunch of different things to compare it side by side, but the times I've done it with, fillets for the client or a tri-tip for the client or something like that, I think it's delicious on. It does make a bit of a difference. But I think as a whole, I don't know. It's good. I mean, but I probably, next time I should tell you what I'm cooking and you tell me to reverse sear it so I can pay attention. I think it's never really, struck my mind that much as I'm doing it. What about you, Dan?
So I had to end up reverse searing shrimp because I fucked up and did 40 dozen shrimp cocktail instead of our traditional cilantro shrimp. So I was like, fuck, how am I going to fix this? So I ended up making a marinade. And after, so we steamed our shrimp in our steam oven. We have a combi oven, has a steam setting. So we got it to like just perfectly done cooked. Did the shrimp cocktail, made the sauce, had them all packaged up a dozen at a time in the fridge, and I realized I fucked up, and it was supposed to be cilantro and not shrimp cocktail. So I made the marinade, I soaked it up real quick, and as these cold shrimp, I just threw them on the grill, and on a hot grill, in batches, and got a nice sear on them. And I was like, oh shit, this was fucking delicious, because I didn't have to, usually I put it on the grill, you try to get it on the grill or you don't want to burn it, so sometimes you finish in the oven, especially when you're doing big quantities like that. But it actually came out really, really good, and I actually never reverse seared anything. So it had me actually thinking about wanting to reverse sear a steak to get that same thing, because it was perfectly cooked, but then you still got a beautiful, beautiful grill marks on there. It actually worked out really well.
That's dope. I think for me, that what I get the most out of reverse searing is the perfect cookness throughout. You know what I mean? Like when I reverse sear, whether I'm sous videing or I'm cooking slow and low, I temp it and I know that I'm going to have like a perfect like 130 throughout the whole thing, and then I get the crust on the outside. So you run less of a risk of overcooking it. You know what I'm saying? Like on one side or the other side. I think, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, for as far as sous vide with the reverse sear, I've done it in like large applications, pretty much because a bunch of like fillets had to go at once, but they had to be held at temp, so we did it that way. And then when we were ready to fire, we just seared them hard and sent them out.
Mm.
But
right,
I mean, that's pretty much as far as I've played with reverse sear.
Nice. Give me some more horror stories, bro. All
right, let me pull these up. We got sidetracked for a second with
I know, we got all deep in Sheffy.
I turned it around.
I like the Sheffiness. I think that was good. That's gonna make Spreaker has a new thing that we can do where it like makes an audio Instagram post for us. So we might cut some of that out and make a little Instagram post out of it.
Ooh, fun.
I'm gonna play with that after Thanksgiving.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Shout out to good brother John Brennan and Elm City Social and Olives and Oil. I'm having one of his small batch cocktails, the Rubber Ducky cocktail. I've got some of those today. Dan, if you've seen them.
I had them when they was right in the middle of that whole dispute of whether they were putting them out or not. And he was doing little like six packs, and I had it. Nice. Those shits are the real deal. They're really good.
Yeah, I got the one though. He's getting them pre-packaged now from Sono 1420, the distillery down there. They're making them and packaging them for him now. Yeah, we're gonna get them on soon too. They're awesome. They do. They distill all their spirits with hemp. It's pretty dope.
What? I love these guys.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty dope. Sorry, Dan. Sorry, Dave. I'm trying to be thankful here, and I'm interrupting you telling horror stories.
No worries. All right, got another one for you. It's I made my husband get an 8-pound turkey brand that Cooks Illustrated recommended. When he brought it home, I freaked out when I couldn't find the legs, wings, or inside. 30 minutes into a panic, called my mom. I looked closer at the packaging. He'd gotten an 8-pound breast.
That's not really a big of a deal, though, is it?
It's kind of funny, though.
I mean, first of all, an 8-pound turkey's small as shit.
Yeah, that's like, don't they hatch that big? I mean, that's... yeah.
But an eight pound breast is hefty. That's hilarious that she thought that was the whole bird.
That is fucking funny. Like, it really makes you wonder about people, right?
She's like, she's stupid. Where's the inside?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god. Where's the giblets?
The giblets.
The giblets.
Jesus.
Oh my god.
Dave, give us one more. One of the worst ones you saw.
Oh, one of the worst ones. All right, give me a second.
You were telling me about some of them I thought were fucking pretty terrible. And then, Jeff, you got something interesting, too, for us, I think. We'll have to get to that here in a second as well.
Well, yes, I do.
Got a horror story for
Dave. I mean, Dave's reading the article now, which is hysterical.
All right, no, I found it.
Did?
Said, I put the Thanksgiving rolls in the oven without realizing some of the kids' magma tiles had attached themselves to the bottom of the baking sheet.
Oh, shit.
Oops.
I ain't never cooked any of my kids' toys. Have you, Jeffy?
I don't think so.
Dan, what about you? You ever cook any of your girls' toys when they were younger?
I was thinking about it. I feel like I must have thrown something at them.
I must have thrown something together. I can't even imagine that. That sounds terrible. It's like Shrinky Dinks.
I so love those.
I do have one more that's way worse.
Oh, all right. Give me a time. Give it to us.
Because Thanksgiving 5 years ago, everyone in my family got food poisoning from my cousin's cake. And they were all gushing geysers out of their butts, except me. I had a seizure and peed myself in the rental car before stripping off my shirt and screaming I was melting. It was negative 20 degrees.
What?
Sounds like
I'm guessing there's meth in that cake. That's
what?
Oh shit!
I had a seizure of peeing my pants
in a rental.
Here's my favorite part: is that whoever this person was started peeing their pants. I thought it was a smart idea to take their shirt off.
Well, obviously, they're having some sort of psychotic break.
You right. think?
Or they're from North Carolina and they took it off and spun it around their head like a helicopter.
Like a helicopter. Damn. That's messed up. Well, Dave, that was some fun horror stories there and spawned some good convos.
Yeah, that was fun. The things you find on Twitter.
That's it. Jeffy, what are you thankful for? By the way, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We're happy to be spending this time with you. Hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving meal today with your family and spent some family time before you go back to work tomorrow. Jeffy, what's something you're thankful for?
Man, I'm thankful for so much. I got to be honest. I'm thankful first for all of us having good health.
Right.
You know, I've been really thankful to not get any bad news about anybody that I care about. You know, it's always crazy to get that kind of stuff, and it's been so scary because of all the shit going on and all the fear that's been pumped through the media. You know, good brother Plum put out that in the last message about, you know, how many deaths actually are, you know, how many things actually kill how many people and how scary that is, and as opposed to the COVID thing. But
And not downplaying COVID, man. That shit's scary, but like...
It is scary, but it's I don't know. I just feel like it's the fear is scarier.
Step back, right? Just take a step back.
Yeah.
That's it. And you were also telling me how thankful you were for the number of the beast, 666.
No, I've never said that to you, you sick fuck. I've always tried to steer you towards Christ, our Lord and Savior. I don't ever try to preach to you like that, you know, I would never. But I do love I do love you guys, and I'm just so thankful that you know, we get to do this show together. We get to fucking hang out. I feel like through the show and through just the relationships we made, cooking and stuff like that, I've had such a great support system as a chef, and I'm just so thankful for that. You know, just like I can ask you guys questions about anything, and I always know I'll get an honest answer, and that's pretty priceless. So.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you, Jeffy. We're thankful for you, too. Well, I'm speaking for the boys here. I don't mean to, but obviously, you know, it's been awesome. I think that you and I, growing our friendship, how it's grown over the years and expanding and just, you know, it's really become a thing. And I dig that, and I appreciate that, too. And you know what else? I also appreciate how you tell me that sometimes you have to drink the blood of a baby deer and then shout the words, red rum, 3 times while looking in the mirror. And I know that you do weird things at home, and I accept you still, so I'm thankful for that.
He told you that too?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. I thought it was special.
You guys are so funny.
And you were like, I remember when you said, hey, check out this book on Beelzebub, and I was like, ooh, what is that, a cookbook?
Now I'm gonna have to do like Jeff's few minutes with Jesus at the end of every show. I'm gonna have to like read some scripture and do an altar call.
He gave me a copy of the Necronomicon. It was like, it felt weird.
It was the Veganomicon, you sick bastard.
Oh.
Either way, it's a Nomicon, so that's all that matters, right?
Nomicon. Oh. That's it.
Jeffy, you had a great story that you found, you sent over to us earlier about some different types of foods, man.
Well, Well, 10 ways to say thank you with food. Like, what do you think? For me, I think I picked out 5 of the best of them. Some of them are just bullshit. But
maybe we could, the boys here, we could talk about what we think is a food that says thanks too.
Yeah, let's see, what kind of food can you give to somebody to say thank you? Like, what are some of the best things in your minds, Dan?
In my mind, I don't know. I think. Anytime I present food to somebody, I'm like kind of, it's a sense of pride. But I always think about breaking bread. And I think to make bread, to take the work that goes into making bread and putting it together and presenting it to people as like, I made this bread, is something that you really went all out and just was like, here, I'm going to you know, present somebody with something that you really put your heart into. And bread is fucking delicious.
Bread is delicious, bro. Bread is delicious. Bread is on the list. You nailed one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I thought that was a good one too. For the same reasons, I feel like breaking bread with people. I feel like a good gift to someone who someone has you over for dinner or something. You want to give something nice to them. You bring a nice loaf of bread. I don't know.
A ribbon.
Yeah,
a little ribbon. That's right. You can tie it up. Oh, bread ribbon. Can be wrapped.
Not fruitcake.
Yeah, bread can look like a gift.
Rattan, some rattan.
Yeah,
twine.
I'm with it.
Yeah. No, no one knows what that is. Just me.
Yes, it's like the jute, but like the unwaxed stuff.
The what?
Jute twine, but like unwaxed.
Bro, you know that I work for the Hebrew Nation. What are you doing, man?
It's with a T, man.
Well, first of all, I'd like for you to just stop and notice that neither one of us, Dan and I, would say shit. We didn't answer, but I got to give credit to fucking Dave. He jumped right in there, so I can't let you destroy him for that. He jumped right in there.
Boom.
And tried. He at least tried. Jute? I didn't even fucking try.
With the jute?
Yeah, Google it, shithead. Like, I love having a little jute with my French dip.
Google it, shithead, jute. How do you spell Jules?
Shit, that's the tricky part. I think it's J-U-T-E.
J-U-T-E, huh?
Twine.
I don't believe it. Anyway, what do you think? What would you give to someone? What kind of food do you give to people?
Me? Booze.
Booze?
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, I figure out what their drink is, and then I get the main component.
I love booze. I think that if you go to somebody's house, you should always bring booze of some sort.
Booze is on the list. You guys nailed another one.
God, yeah, that's killing it.
You're good.
Yeah, no, you go for it, please.
No, I was going to say, I think that I thought for sure you were going to pick casseroles.
No, see, whatever, for one. But
it's on the list. It's on the list. And I thought for sure that was going to be what you were going to tap into. But you said booze, and it's surprising. I'm just surprised.
Yeah, because, like, booze says I care, but I also like to party. So.
Oh, he's got a good point there. He's got a damn good point there.
Yeah, casseroles aren't about a party.
Mm-mm. Usually if you give someone a casserole, like an actual casserole, I know what you guys are talking about, but like an actual casserole, it's like on some funeral level shit. If I get a casserole,
I was thinking,
like,
the same thing. Yeah,
I was like, somebody just died.
Damn. Like, damn. Well, Jeffy, like, give us one off. You. Give us one off the list that we're not guessing, so we don't guess the whole list.
All right. Well, it's casserole was one for sure, which I thought you guys.
Fuck, we got three of them: bread, casserole, and fucking booze. You only got two left.
Bread, casserole, and booze. Hold on a second, I just lost my list. I fell off.
Come on, Jeff.
Bread, casserole, and booze. That's like,
sounds like a good time.
It's, yeah, that
bread,
sounds
casserole,
like
booze. Yeah.
American, bread, casserole, and booze.
I mean, what else do you need?
And green beans.
I mean, you could bring somebody a steak, like just one big ass, like, fucking steak.
Just from the butcher, still wrapped.
Seared.
No, I'm not even serious. It's gonna be on my shoulder.
Beer, wine, and like booze, like whiskey or spirits, were at three different spots on the list.
Well, let me ask you this, Jeffy. What about pate?
Pate is not on the list.
Fuck. How about I get two guesses because my name's on the show. How about charcuterie?
Charcuterie's not on the list, but fuck. Baskets and snack baskets are, so I guess that could fall in that.
Yeah, you definitely find a good summer sausage inside of a snack basket.
The judge of this contest, I'm going to let you get a point for this.
All
for
right,
sure.
I'll take a point. I'll take a point.
Charcuterie, you get a point.
I'm my summer sausage everywhere.
That's true.
So, yo. All right, so one that I didn't think anyone, no one guessed, and I thought you would too, hot sauce. If you want to say thank you to someone, give them a little hot sauce. You're probably a homemade one.
I make my own hot sauce.
You make great hot sauce, actually. Hot sauce is a gift. That's a great question. Let me think about that for a second. I mean, I love hot sauce. I think hot sauce... I think it only works if you make it yourself. Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, but the thing is, when I make it myself, it's going to ferment, and it's going to blow out.
Well,
because you're using, like, your fresh ingredients, and if you're, or do you mean, like,
you're talking about making a gift,
and
like, you're
getting, like, have that shit on stock, and
you're
just
taking
hand out
you're
gifts?
Doing a fucking Daniloquy on a Daniloquy on us right now. It's a gift, hot sauce, one you
so
made.
So it's already
yourself.
Made, and I've already done all the steps and processes.
Yes, I don't know why you
how
like
the fuck? That's like. It's like when a mom has, like, every card available. Like, I just have hot sauce on hand. No, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know
too.
How I feel about that one.
I think right. I've given all three of you hot sauce, no?
I don't think you have not given me hot sauce. All
right,
I like
a bottle
getting
hot sauce,
hot sauce but I'm not going to take anybody hot sauce. Hot sauce.
I ate all your hot sauce. I thought it was delicious.
Yeah, I love Dave. I owe Dave a bottle of hot sauce.
It separated a little bit, and it got fermenty. Because that was delicious and fermented and amazing, and I ate it until it was gone.
See, that's I would be scared that I wouldn't do something right, and then it would ferment and blow the lid off the bottle. That's
right,
that's
Dave,
my
Dave. First thing, scared money don't make money. Okay,
boom.
Buddy.
Boom.
Just hold that in your heart. All right. Take
wait,
it out
wait,
there.
Here you go. Say that again, Jeffy. Let me help you out.
All right. Hey, David. Remember this: scared money don't make money.
I love that drop.
Felt so good.
Is that the whole list, Jeffy? That's all we got.
So fruit basket, hot sauce. Oh, fudge. I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, I love fudge. I love fudge. If somebody gave me fudge, they'd get a huge hug. Maybe a kiss. I don't know. But fudge is like, it touches me in the heart.
I wasn't expecting this reaction from you, Dave.
You give me some fudge. You'll find out.
He's from Detroit.
What does that
mean?
Happy
loves
Thanksgiving.
He loves the fudge.
Yeah, it's like butt stuff.
He likes that fudge.
Fudge packing in Michigan.
No. Like real fudge.
No, like real fudge, bro. You know what I mean.
Like Mackinac Island fudge. That shit's delicious.
But is that like a trailer park somewhere around your house?
What does that move? Do you have to have a stool to make that move happen?
No, you gotta cross a bridge.
Yeah, oh, this motherfucker. Alright, so the last one on the list that I thought was awesome, and I think it's super smart, and I think everyone should do this if they want to say thank you to someone. They should hire a personal chef. I actually know a few great guys who don't have a website, but they're gonna have one soon.
That's a good idea right there. To hire a chef for someone. That's a great idea. It's expensive, but that's a good gift.
You want to say thank you, you want to love on somebody, you get them a chef to come in their house, cook them a meal or two, or teach them something. It's a fun experience. You get a catertainer like Plum or myself or Dan or Dave or good brother Chef Franke, Baby Gabagool.
I wish he answered the phone tonight.
Baby Gabagool.
Baby Gabagool's got no testicles.
What?
Yeah. Oh, I heard that too.
That seems intense.
I heard on the street.
Did that just get confirmed? Did you just confirm that, Jeff?
No, well, I don't want to confirm or deny anything, but Baby Gabagool, that's all I got to say.
Is that all like right. You can either condemn or condone type of thing?
Baby Gabagool.
All right.
Well, Dan, we've talked to everybody. I don't think we've asked you yet what you're thankful for this this holiday season.
Well, let's start with the stars, the sun, the moon,
no,
the light.
No, see, now you're doing that weird thing.
Here we go.
Makes my belly button tingle.
I'm so fucking thankful for so much things. And what I've learned this year to be very thankful of is this moment right now. I feel like a lot of people don't acknowledge
it. To an automatic voice message system. 3, 4, 7, 6, 8, 2, 6, 4, 4, 3.
I'm about to get in some deep shit. I'm about to like really get in on some shit. And I got a fucking message popping up on some shit ain't available. Yo, my heart.
That was the best. I thought that was a fucking soundboard track for a second. I'm like, this is the best new one ever.
That's a great
perfect
idea.
Perfect timing on that, too. The spirits are with us.
Oh, shit. I should have let it go. We could have left a long-ass message on Frank's voicemail.
You should have. I thought you were going to.
I should have. I didn't think about it.
Spit and fire.
Yo, I think you're right. Being thankful for the moment, man. I mean, 2020 is a weird year. And, I mean, you know, I believe the end is in sight. And, you know.
Like, of the world?
No, man. Oh. Come on. The world's not going to end. We're all good. But you're right. Be thankful for the moments that you have and the moments that you're in, because where you are is where you are.
Yeah, first and foremost, like with all this, like everyone's afraid of death, and essentially death is around you no matter what. Like you can't escape it. Like accept it for what it is, and fucking, you know. And I'm not saying to not do things smart. Not, you know, I wouldn't drive a car if I was afraid to die, because fucking more people die from car accidents than probably anything else in the fucking world. That's but, you know, I'm still driving a fucking car. But, you know, I'm just, you know, you have to be safe. You drive a car smartly. You do the things you need to do. If you got to wear a mask, wear a mask. But I live for today. Like, everything I do for today. I'm not worried about what the fuck I did yesterday. I'm not worried about what stupid, dumb shit might happen tomorrow. I'm just trying to make sure I take care of today. And every moment I'm in, every time I get a chance to breathe or hug a loved one or be there with somebody or watch a movie or, you know, just laugh, that's what it's about. And that's what you need to be thankful for. And everyone needs to understand that.
Somebody's been through a 12-step program.
Tonight's Dan Liloquy brought to you by
Foods. I had six weeks of alcohol rehab when I was in Army, but you know.
So what you are talking about being in a state of gratitude, like a constant state of thankfulness. I was trying to talk to Plum about this earlier through text message. I think that's a good place to be. I don't know.
You know, I think you're right, Jeffy. I think it's the gratitude part is such. What's the word I'm looking for, man? Just to be thankful, to be gracious, to be thankful for the times that we have, the moments that we have, and you know, and not worry about what other people are doing. Just worry about what we're doing, and make that be what's important. You know, I think that kind of falls in the gratitude thing, doesn't it, Jeffy?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me find the definition of it. The definition of the gratitude is the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation and return kindness. So, like, I think that's exactly what Dan's talking about. Like, being here now, in the moment, loving everybody in the moment, being thankful for what we have, being thankful for the moments we have together, and taking advantage of those moments.
I had one of the this guest we had on season sent me a message, and she wanted to send me a cake to thank me and, like, hand deliver me this cake to thank me for my kindness and getting her on the show and just the kindness we gave her on the show. And I told her it wasn't necessary, and she was like, hopefully one day I can repay your kindness. And my message back to her was, the good news is, Chef, is that kindness never needs to be repaid.
I like that.
And
I told her you were married, but I mean, that's also good.
I didn't send her any of those good pictures you like.
Oh, okay. I just make sure we're not the same.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's just it's all those little things. You put it out in the world, it makes a difference. And just having that gratitude that you're talking about, putting that out in the world is a good thing, man. We could use a little more of that these days.
Fuck yeah. I love that neighbor.
Yeah. Your neighbor may be a douchebag, but I mean, somebody likes them, so let's take care of them.
As you would thyself.
What was that? You quoting the Bible?
Always, man. You guys quote it all the time. You don't realize it.
Did you throw like a Roman accent in, like the Pope, too?
Ooh.
Nah, man. I'm just a little H-I-G-H.
All right.
Is that the Necronomicon you're quoting? I don't see you do that very often, very much in public.
Jesus.
He's like,
Jesus Christ. You guys are terrible.
We had a customer today who was. We have a back door and a front door.
Yeah, you do.
Everybody
we all
going
do.
Through the front door.
We all do.
Yo, why this guy? We wouldn't let a guy through the back door. He's yelling, "Go fuck yourself! Go fuck yourself!" Like seriously, bro. Like, yo, this is a fucking store. Like, you can't come in the back door. Like, how hard is that to fucking understand? And the dude is screaming and yelling. Like, clearly this man has some other shit going on. Like, someone's totally pressuring him, or he got some shit, you know, that he's dealing with. And, yep, you know, when people come at you like that, you have to understand that someone, that person clearly has something they're dealing with. And that's not to say, oh, everybody has. I'm not saying it's a mental issue thing. I'm saying, like, just things in life affect you differently. And every day you walk into a situation where you're not completely sure what the hell you're dealing with. And you just have to understand that in that moment, in that time, you got to just love what you got going on. And when somebody comes at you, you just say, hey, you know what? I don't know what you're going through, but you gotta go to the fucking front door, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, that was the fucking best. I don't know what to tell you.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
You gotta get your ass at the front door. That's all I can tell you.
You gotta smile a little bit more, Danny. Hey. My little Dan the man.
I don't do it on video, but I do it in life. I smile. Yeah. I've smiled more. Honestly, like, I've smiled more lately than I ever have in my life. Like, it's perspective, man.
Yeah.
Shit gets fucked up, but you gotta understand that. I've been through fucked up shit. And when you've been through fucked up shit, you understand when shit's really good. And that's what it is.
Amen.
True that. Dave, what's gratitude mean to you, sir?
I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
Would you like me to read the definition to you again?
Maybe you should start with on the phone call when you call Dave. Hey, brother, what's going on? Shit. Just, you know, hanging out here.
I don't know.
Instead of, like, that's that awkward pause, quiet, where you should say, what are you up to, man? Or what's going on with you? And you just don't. You just stay as quiet.
Yeah.
It's a little inside baseball there, sorry, but
yeah.
All right, ready? Have a definition of it?
Yeah, ready. Gratitude is a warm feeling of thankfulness towards the world or towards specific individuals. The person who feels gratitude is thankful for what they have and does not constantly seek more.
Let me ask you this, Jeffy, what about people who live on the Atlantic coast?
I think they're already just grateful. Because there's less earthquakes and less bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. I had high hopes for that joke and no one got it. That's okay.
That was a joke?
Yeah, it was, because it sounded like you said people from the Pacific.
Oh, Oh.
Yeah, sorry. Hold on a second. I'll
yeah.
Sorry, one second. Just hang on a second. All right.
I think a crickets is in order, too.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There you go. That's what you get.
Do you still have the bomb? Can you do that one?
Yeah, I got some more.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one.
Swing and a miss. Feel?
How does that feel?
Swing and a miss. Well, I think that one thing we've all become good at on this program is having that gratitude. And for me, Thanksgiving time is when it's important to be, you know, to have gratitude towards everybody out there, to be thankful for what you have. Don't worry so much about what everybody else has. Just think about yourself and what you have and how lucky you are to have what you have. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it looks like other people have more, other people have less. It doesn't matter. It matters what you have for yourself. And if you can do something to help somebody else out, you should definitely do that, even if it's just hold the door. I helped a woman today. Her grocery cart was stuck inside of another grocery cart, and I just helped her. That's what you do. That puts good in the world. That gives people faith in people. And through all this crazy shit that's going on, through this pandemic, through this election, through all the just hate and fear-mongering and everything that's happening with the media, no matter what, I still believe in people. I always will believe in people. I think there's good people out there. I know for a fact there are, because I'm talking to three of them right now. And don't ever lose sight and hope for that, because there are good people, and it's not all bad. And if you continue to put you know, that out there into the world, I don't know if it's a karma thing or not, Jeffy, but I think that helps. And just even just putting it out there, having that, you know, gratitude and putting that out there into the world, it helps the world grow. Was that weird? I don't know. I'm just talking out of my ass a little bit, but.
I think it grows in the world. I think that, like, the more gratitude you share and show, more people kind of understand, you know, that grows. The sense of gratitude grows amongst people, I feel like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
For sure. Well, listen, folks, we got about 1 month left of 2020, and then everything's back to normal. Just hang in there.
Yep, that's how it works.
We're almost there. Just stay with it. We're almost there. It's going to be Christmas time before you know it. Hey, also, too, shout out to our good friend Chad Minton on the show last week. Don't forget, they got a big sale happening over at True Cooks starting tonight, I think, Thanksgiving night. So
yeah,
check them out. You get some good deals over there, free shipping, all kinds of shit. Our friends over at Spiceology are doing the same thing, and so are our friends at Ergo Chef Knives. If you need some good equipment, go check them out, ErgoChefKnives.com. They got some great shit going on all weekend long. Great sales. So, and that's not, we're not even getting paid to say that. That's just our friends. I just want to promote them, you know?
So what's up? Because we love people.
That's it. And we're happy that they're our friends, and we feel lucky that they're our friends. And
oh, we're grateful for them. I get it now.
Hey.
Spreading love the nutmeg way.
I don't know what that means.
No, instead of Brooklyn, because you're in Connecticut, nutmeg. Yeah, nutmegs.
Nah, I got you.
No.
Now I got you. Listen, friends, we hope you guys had a fantastic Thanksgiving. We are super thankful for you checking out this podcast. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. We do certainly appreciate all of that stuff. It helps out tremendously. We got some changes coming, some things we're proud of, some things we're excited about, and some things we're not sure how they're going to go, but we're going to fucking do them anyway. So we look forward to seeing you guys after that. Have a great rest of your night, rest of your day, whenever you're checking this program out. Happy Thanksgiving. We are thankful for you and friends. Dave, I'm thankful for you every single day. Dan, I'm thankful for you every single day. Jeffy, I'm so thankful for you every single day. I love all you good brothers very, very much, and I appreciate you guys being here on the program with me every week.
Love you back, bro.
Love you. Love you guys, too.
That's what we're talking about, guys. I love you guys, and remember, guys, in the meantime and in between time, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give the time it deserves. See you next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
The power of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.